Hey, everybody, it's Mark. Welcome or welcome back to the New Spring Church Podcast. Hey, at the end of this episode, please take a moment to subscribe to our YouTube channel and download our free New Spring app where you can access all of our recent message content. Actually, the app is the easiest way to share all this content with a friend, and it's the easiest way to keep up with everything going on around here at New Spring. But most importantly, I hope the following presentation inspires you to take your next step in your faith journey. Enjoy.
Thank you. I love your music here. I tell you, I'm in some churches, and by the time I get up, I want to preach on hell. You know, it's just not good. So it's always good to be here. We're going to talk about stress today. We live in a fast-paced world, don't we? I mean, you want to send something, it's Federal Express. You want to call somebody, it's Sprint. You want to do your finances, it's Quicken. You go to the hotel, it's Express Check-In. You go to the airport, it's Rapid Shuttle. You eat, it's fast food. You diet, it's Slim Fast. Even when you want to get out your swimsuit and relax, what do they call it? Speedo. It's a fast world, isn't it? 50 years ago, two cardiologists were looking at what makes people sick, especially heart disease. And they're trying to figure out the statistical significance of eating certain foods or doing certain things. And a guy came to redo their offices, to do the chairs and things. And before he left, he asked these cardiologists, he says, I think I can help you with your research. And, you know, you can imagine two cardiologists are, you know, working class guy, but maybe he'll lower the bill. So they said, what do you want to tell us? I said, well, I've been in the poster business 38 years, and I know chairs. They're my life. And I've noticed something about your chairs that I think will help you in your research. He said, you got great chairs. And I said, the upholstery in the back of these chairs was, I didn't really have to replace it, but I did because you wanted me to. But it's like it had never been used. And this part of the chair looked like it had never been used. But the front parts of the chairs were the worst fronts I've ever seen in 38 years of poster business. And I believe the people who come to see you, your patients, never sit back and relax in their chairs. The people who see you, they're always up on the front of their chair and they're always stressed out and they're just rubbed that thing down to the wood. And then he said this, I think it's the personality of your patients that's making them sick. And all of a sudden, we discovered what's now the type A personality, the person that wants to do more and more and less, that kind of personality. It's really the American personality. That's me and that's you. You know, we got to get it there and we got to get in the quickest lane. You know, some of you ladies look like NFL linebackers at the grocery store, you know, trying to find out which one's going first, switching lanes. And let me just help you right here. This is just practical advice. Let me tell you the law of lanes. Whichever lane you're in slows down. So when you switch lanes, you just slow down that lane, you see? So just stay where you are and it'll all go a whole lot better. Here's what the Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. I like to translate that, all of you who work and have been worked on. You know, some days you go to work, some days you get worked on. And I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Most of you know I'm a psychologist. I used to be in private practice, and actually, I would teach people how to relax. I'd go through their muscle groups. I'd tense up certain muscles, relax certain muscles. I'd work on their breathing. I'd take them on a vacation in their mind. I could literally relax your body. Psychologists, we know how to do that. But only Jesus can relax your soul. He gives rest for your soul. And then he says this, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow, my yoke is easy. I'm going to preach a sermon one day on who stole the easy yoke. I mean, we've made it so difficult. We've made it so hard. We've made it like this is just a miserable life. When the angels showed up, they didn't say, I got a plan to make you miserable for the rest of your life. You know what they said? I bring you good news of great joy. This kind of life God had in mind for you is a great life. But you have to practice those principles. You can claim his promise for eternal life, but you have to practice his principles for a great life, because it's all in how you think and all in what you do. So let me teach you today some principles that help you have a great life. And we're going to take that word, relax, relax. Because most of us don't have what I call the pace of grace. We have the pace of a race. Let me just give you this example. Let's just say that you want an all-expenses-paid trip to Hawaii, and you're going to pay for everything in a five-star hotel, and you look at your plane ticket, and you fly out of Wichita, so you got to go through Atlanta, because I'm flying here a lot, and you can't get anywhere else but Atlanta if you fly Delta. And so you go to Atlanta, and then you go to the Caribbean or somewhere. And you look at the ticket, and there's a two-minute connection in Atlanta. And you say, something's wrong here. You say to the travel agent, I only have 2 minutes. And the travel agent said, yeah, that's right. I said, look, if your plane is early and the plane you're leaving is late, and if you get to your gate is right next to the gate that you're leaving from, I think you have a shot at it. And you would say, that's not a vacation. That's a nightmare. Most of you live that way, thinking if this connection works, if this connection works, I'd just be able to do this connection. That's why your area code ought to be 911. Why? Because everything becomes an emergency. You're not relaxed. You don't have that pace of grace. Well, how do you do that? Let's take that word, relax, R-E-L-A-X. You know how I preach, so we just make it through those letters. So hopefully we'll make it through all of them. Listen quickly, all right? R stands for renew your mind. We have to constantly realize the way we think determines how we feel. The definition of stress is this: the reaction of the body to any stimulus, real or imagined. And that's the key right there. Real. You take a step and there's a water hose there, and you step on that water hose and you think it's a snake, you're going to get stressed. It's not a snake, but if you think, it doesn't matter. If you think it's a snake, you're going to get, and then you realize it's a water hose. You calm back down again. See, any stimulus, real or imagined. And then there are various degrees. If you're a city boy like me and you see a snake, you're stressed. You don't know what kind of, I'm distressed. A farmer, you grew up on a farm, you see a snake, maybe a little stressed. But you're like a snakeologist or zoologist, whatever they call them, and you see, man, look at this, man, that's a good snake. He's actually enjoying it. So it's not the event itself, it's what you think about the event. You see, work and play is really just in your mind. They had this friend of mine, he had a neighborhood ball field was his backyard. I mean, it was just a perfect ball field. And all the neighborhood kids would sneak into his yard and they'd play ball. And it just drove him nuts. Every day he'd come back home from work and hear these kids out there screaming and hollering, you're out, you're safe. And he'd go out there and run these kids off, run them off. And next day they'd be back. He'd run them off, next day they'd be back, And then he got this idea. He goes out there, the kids, of course the kids start to run away. And he said, no, come back. I want to apologize. I'm sorry I've been mean to you. He said, I've actually grown to like all this noise you make in my yard. Matter of fact, I like it so much, I got a friend coming tomorrow. I want him to hear it. So if you'll all come back tomorrow, I'll pay you $1 each for coming. And they said, man, it's great. Wow, that's super. So they paid him $1 the next day. The next day, he paid him another $1. So I got some more friends. And then he said, look, I got some more friends coming, but I can only pay you 50 cents. And they came for 50 cents. But then finally he said, Liz, look, I'm down to a nickel. Would you come and play for the nickel? And they said, a nickel? You got to be kidding. We're never coming back here. So what did he do? He changed their mind. At first, they thought it was play, But then if you're paying for it, it must be work. And if you don't get paid for work, you quit. See, it's all in your mind. And so the Bible says you have to constantly renew your mind. You have to change your perspective. You have to decide, I'm going to look at life the way that God says to look at life, not the way the Ponzi scheme of the world says to look at life. It's just a constant renewing of your mind. It's a different perspective. I heard about a state hospital, and they let patients go free at the end of the year, and they let the patients vote on which ones got to go free. Now, it was a state hospital, so you couldn't just get to go free. You had to see the psychiatrist for your exit interview. Well, Sam and Eddie got the most votes that year. And Sam and Eddie were best friends. And so they go down for their exit interview, and Sam's a little bit sharper than Eddie, and so Sam goes in first, and the psychiatrist said, Sam, we're really proud of you, got the most votes, and you're gonna get to go free this year, but let me just ask you a couple of questions, just to make sure you're in touch with reality. Sam, what would happen to you if I poked out your left eye? He said, I'd be half blind. He said, that's your answer. Yeah, that's a good answer. He said, what would happen to you if I poked out your other eye? He said, Doc, I'd be totally blind. I couldn't see a thing. He said, those are good answers. Sam, I'm going to let you go. As Sam was leaving, Eddie was coming in. And Sam said, Eddie, look, we got this. You know, we're out of here. Look at me. Here are the answers, Eddie, now. Half blind, totally blind, can't see a thing. Those are the answers now. Come on, we can do this, Eddie. Eddie sits down and psychiatrist says, Eddie, you got the most votes. Just want to make sure you're in touch with reality. Eddie, what would happen to you if I cut off your left ear? Well, Doc, I'd be half blind. Be half blind. That's your answer, Eddie? Yeah, that's it. That's it. Half blind. Well, what would happen to you if I cut off your other ear? Totally blind, Doc. Totally blind. I couldn't see a thing. I said, Eddie, Eddie, I don't know if I can let you. Eddie, why would you say such a thing? Why would you say if I cut off your ears, you'd be totally blind? He said, Doc, if you cut off both my ears, my hat would fall down over my eyes. I'd be totally blind. I couldn't see a thing. And Doc said, I think I'm going to let you go, Eddie. Eddie looked at life from a different perspective. You see, we live in a world that's a Ponzi scheme. The world is always telling you you can have this without that. And you can for a while. But by the time that shows up, you're usually addicted to this and you're in difficult trouble. And so you have to constantly renew your mind and think the way God wants you to think. Now, how do you do that? Well, you have to live life in the far instead of the near. You have to, what are the consequences in the long term, not the short term? You have to have a vision. What the Bible says, without a vision, you'll perish. In other words, if you don't see the picture of how great this life is gonna be when you live this way today, then you won't be able to do it. Matter of fact, the more tension you have today, the more extension you have to have up to tomorrow of what it's gonna look like when you do what God wants you to do. Because you see, you have this Adam suit. You can call it your Eve suit, ladies, but it's your body. And your body does not want to act better. It wants to feel better. It does not want a plan. It wants a pill. It does not want education. It wants medication. That's my body and that's your body. That's just the way God made us. And by the way, you're never going to be able to redeem your body. You're never going to be able to get it to do exactly what you want it to do. God's got to kill it to get you into heaven. You understand that? You know, you're going to die. You know, you may be peacock today, but you're going to be feathers tomorrow. You're going to die. You know, and so once you realize the more I can get my body to do what it does not want to do, the better life I'm going to have. But that's a very difficult task. That's why you gotta see the vision out there of what it would be like if you lived life like this. And if you don't have that vision, you won't be able to do it. Well, let me just give an example. Ladies have babies, and when they have babies, they give them a shower. Now, how many of you ladies ever went to a pain shower before you had a baby? Let's just talk about the pain you're gonna go through. I mean, that's the most pain you'll ever experience in your life. You better be hollering out for an epidural because, man, if you don't get an epidural, you're gonna be hollering out for morphine. You're gonna be in so much pain. You want to have pain showers. Nobody ever want to have a baby. We have baby showers. We give them a vision of what will happen. If you go through this today, you will get to have this tomorrow. And that's the way the world works. That's the way you have to live your life in order to have a great life. Constantly renew your mind, thinking God's way. So R, renew your mind. E stands for erase and replace. The brain can only think of one thought at a time. Therefore, the things you're trying to say no to is the things you want to do because that's what's in your mind. So literally, you cannot not do things. The more you want to not do things, the more you do things. You see, the brain can only have one thought at a time. You say, well, I don't believe that. Well, let me just teach you that. Let's just say there's an elephant right there. It's a big old elephant. You see that elephant? And it's got on pink pajamas. Isn't that a funny looking elephant? And it's on yellow roller skates, this elephant. Pink pajamas, yellow roller skates, and I'm gonna push this elephant. I'm pushing it, and see it? It's rolling right there. And see that elephant? It's got that big old trunk there. Those roller skates, those pink. See that elephant? Get him in your mind. Isn't that a funny looking elephant? You got that elephant in your mind. You got it? See him? Now get it out. Get the elephant out. Get those pink pajamas out. Get those yellow roller skates out. Get it out. It's back. Get it out. Only way to get it out, replace it with a blue monkey and yellow pajama. I don't know. But you have to replace. The Bible is very clear on how you change your behavior. It says you have to put off, but the only way to put off is to put on. You see, the only way to get rid of the negative is to do the positive. Let's say you come to my house. You say, Charles, you got a great house. But this furniture, it's late attic, early Sears. I mean, it's pitiful furniture. It's awful. It's terrible. And it's just junk. And I hate to see you with this nice house with just this junk in your life. Let me help you. I got my pickup out here. Why don't we just get rid of this junk? That table is the worst table I've ever seen. That chair, it's awful, man. And let's just take them down the dump and get rid of them. It's junk. I said, you know, you're right. I knew it was junk. I've been living with this junk for years. You're going to help me? Yeah, I'm going to help. And so we get that junk, and we put it in your pickup. We take it down to the dump. We throw that thing in there. Man, I feel good. Got that junk out of my life. Go back home. Well, I don't have a place to sit. I'd rather sit on the floor than that junky chair. Well, it's time to eat. I don't have a table. Well, I'd rather eat on the floor than that table. If I don't replace that furniture with new furniture, it won't be long that I'll be back at the dump getting out the same old junk. Let me tell you about your life. Some of you tried to get rid of the junk, but you didn't put anything in its place. And now you're headed back to the dump, getting out the same old junk. You see, you have to erase, but you have to replace. That's just the way life works. So we got to renew our mind. We got to erase and replace. And by the way, since you brought up this letter E, let me give you another word, exercise. Exercise is a magic bullet for your Adam suit. Exercise, people always say, well, you know, exercise really isn't mentioned much in the Bible. That's because they walked everywhere they went. You look at every research study that's done with psychological problems. Let's just take depression. Depression is the number one psychological problem in America. You take a study on depression and you have a control group. You have a group that has psychoanalytic therapy, you know, like lay on the sofa and talk about your mama, you know, that kind of therapy. And by the way, if it isn't one thing, it is your mother. But you have a behavior modification kind of program. You have a cognitive therapy kind of program. And then you have a medication where they get antidepressants. And then you have an exercise group. The exercise group gets better every time. Regular exercise program. You want to improve your mental health? Regular exercise program. So E stands for erase and replace, and exercise. L stands for long term. The Ponzi scheme of this world is oriented just for the short term, just for the immediate pleasure. Unfortunately, good things take a long time. I go to the Masters Golf Tournament every year. I got on the Masters Golf list in 1971, and I got tickets in 1994. That's what, 23 years later. People say, can I buy your Masters tickets? I say, do you read lips? You're not getting my Masters ticket. It takes a long time. You see, and what God says is, don't live life in the short term. Just don't look at what's happening now, because good things will eventually happen. God can take even bad things and in the long term make good things. You see, the cross is the biggest plus sign in your life. The cross says that the worst thing anybody could do to somebody, crucifixion, became the best thing for everybody. And so when you understand that, then you realize, don't judge things so quickly of what's good and what's bad, because you don't really know. I mean, even country music knows this. Remember Garth Brooks wrote that song, Thank God for Unanswered Prayers? You ever had any of those? My college roommate came back to the dorm. Here's what he said. Life's not worth living. His high school sweetheart, the girl he wanted to marry, had rejected him, and he thought it was the end of the world. Ever had something like that happen to you? Get rejected, like high school or college, man, you thought, oh, that's the end of the world. And then 30 years later, you go back for that high school reunion, and somebody says, that's her, or that's him, and you go, oh, thank God for unanswered prayers. You don't know what's bad and what's good. You're getting all stressed out about it. You don't even know. You know, I was preaching historic First Baptist Church, Dallas, Texas. I'm the only psychologist ever to preach there. Also the only person with facial hair. I had a mustache back in those days. And they, you know, they're pretty conservative down there. They didn't like facial hair. So I'm the only psychologist ever to preach there. Only person with facial hair. And I was doing a series on depression. And I guess I was a little too nervous, trying to think a little too fast. And I was listing the symptoms of depression, and one of those symptoms happens to be erratic sleep patterns. I said erotic sleep patterns. Pretty much brought the house down. I mean, even the deacons wanted depression after that. But anyway, so I mean, it was a mess up. Now, I've had mess ups before. One time I called Samson Tarzan, but anyway, yeah. But I didn't even know I'd messed it up, but I knew they laughed at the wrong time, but I just kept on going. Well, that was back in cassette tape days. So after the message was over, I listened to it on cassette tape, and I can't believe I said erotic at First Baptist Church, Dallas. Well, we were doing it for a series, and so I was doing the same series up in Oklahoma. And so I had to fix it. So I had a lady on the front row with big poster board with the word erratic, you know. Because remember, you can't not say that. You got to put the positive. So you got to keep looking at the positive and not trying to not do the negative. So every time I look at you, you hold up erratic. Every time I look at you, you hold up erratic. Time came to say erratic. I said erratic. Finished the series. They put it in an album, and it was offered for sale, and I finished it up at First Baptist Dallas. And we went back to the media table, and I was going to sign books and stuff, and there was a long line of people. And I thought, man, look at this, Dr. Criswell's church, but they're lined up to buy my stuff. You know, I'm pretty prideful walking back there. And guy comes up and says, we have a problem. I said, what's that? He said, see that long line of people? I said, yeah, they want to buy my stuff. He said, not really. He said, they want to buy the tape where you said erotic. And we fixed that tape because you didn't want it there, and therefore they don't want this one, they want that one. And And he said, look, we can fix it. We can duplicate 100 in, you know, in 3 minutes, but we got to have your permission. I said, you got my permission. I'm poor. Sell it. Hurry. Quit fixing. But here's what happened. It became the best-selling series we've ever had. People would give it to their friends and say, you won't believe what this guy said at First Dallas. This is so funny. And their friends would listen to it. But then by then they got interested in it. We got letters and messages from people all over the country that series changed their lives. Why? Because God can take my mess ups and do miracles. God can take my blunders and do blessings. So what does that mean? That means when I'm speaking, I'm totally relaxed. Why? It doesn't matter. Mistakes can be miracles. I'm just gonna go up here and have a little fun. Why? Because God can do that. And once you understand that, you start to relax looking at life in the long term. A stands for appreciate what you have. As a rule, man's a fool. When he's hot, he wants it cool. When he's cool, he wants it hot. Always wanting what's not. As a rule, man's a fool. You know that, don't you? We always want what we can't have. It's the world system. It's the Ponzi scheme. They're always trying to convince you, you have to have this to be happy. You can't be happy with this. You gotta have that to be happy. I used to do a lot of marriage counseling, and guys would come in and they'd say, oh, Dr. Lowry, I'm falling in love with my secretary. She dresses better than my wife. She listens better. She's always in a good mood. I say, I got an answer for that. Pay your wife and let her off at 4:30. She'll be in a really good mood, I promise. You start comparing things that can't be compared. You start comparing your fact with some fantasy that doesn't exist. These ladies look at me and say, oh, Dr. Lowry, if my husband would just listen the way you would listen, if he would just be compassionate the way you're, if he would just look into my eyes when I talk the way you look into my eyes, I said, pay him $150 an hour like you're paying me. He'll look in your eyes. You got two choices in life, my friend, only two. You can tear up that fantasy that does not exist. And you can accept your mate, your kids, your job as a gift of God. Or else you'll spend the rest of your life tearing up those people, trying to make them look like a fantasy that does not exist. And you'll end up being a very miserable person. The fact of the matter is, relationships just take work. Life just takes work. If the grass is greener, it's because somebody's watered it and fertilized it and taken care of it. If the grass is green, nobody appears to be taking care of it, there's a septic tank somewhere, I promise you that. That's not the way life works. Appreciate what you have. And then another A, I'm gonna give you two A's. Authentic. Be the person that God created you to be. Jesus, the Bible says, knowing where he came from and where he was going, washed the feet of his disciples. I'm a preacher's kid, always wondered, why didn't disciples wash their own stinking feet? I mean, have you ever wondered about that? I mean, this is Jesus, guys, you know. But I know now, because the disciples are just a bunch of preachers. I'm around preachers all the time. When preachers get together, they brag on what their church is doing. Man, we're doing this in this church. We're doing this. We got this many vacation Bibles. They're trying to impress other preachers with what they're doing. Jesus didn't have to impress anybody. And when you don't have to impress anybody with what you're doing, you can serve out of who you are. And you can actually notice dirty feet. I don't think the disciples even noticed dirty feet, because they were so insecure trying to tell what's happening to us, what we're doing there. Learn to serve out of who you are, not try to impress people with what you do. I guess one of the most stressful days of my life is when somebody thought I was somebody else. How many have ever heard of the name Mark Lowry? You ever heard of the name Mark Lowry? Some of you have. He's a singer. He's an entertainer. He's a comedian. He wrote the song, Mary, Did You Know? Probably singing at Christmas, Mary, Did You Know? Which to me makes no sense because Mary did know. But anyway, but his dad happens to be Charles Lowry, which is my name. So it's a little confusing. I was booked to do a banquet in Austin, Texas. And many times when I speak, I've never really met the people or talked to the people. It's done through an agency or done through my office. And so just before I was going to get on a plane, my daughter at the time was running my business, and she handed me this folder and says, you're going to Austin, Texas, the Pastor Appreciation Banquet sponsored by a radio station. And the only thing different about this, they asked if you could sing some songs at the banquet, and I told them you couldn't. That's the only thing she told me. Now, later on, I found out the real story. They called and said, could Dr. Lowry sing some songs at the banquet? And they said, no. They called back the next day and says, if he will sing two songs, we'll pay him $1,000 more. And they thought about that. I mean, that's $500 a song, right? But then they said, no, he can't sing. No, he can't sing. So it was in my mind that why would somebody ask me to sing? And then just before I got to the airport, this thought hit me. Surely they don't think they booked Mark Lowry. I mean, that could, there's no way that could happen. I get to the airport. The pastor picks up my bag, looks me in the eye, says, you want me to call you Charles or do you want me to call you Mark? I said, Charles would be good. And then we're walking to the car. You know how your mind goes nuts, but you're not saying anything on the outside? We're going to the car, and I'm going, he just said Mark. What if he thinks I'm Mark? I can't think. I'm not Mark. I can't think. What am I going to do? I'm slowly going nuts as I'm walking calmly to the car. We get in the car. He puts my bag in the back. I get in the front. There's a bio sitting on the front seat. So I pick up that bio and read it. It's the one we send out, Charles Lowry, PhD psychologist. So he's got to know who I am. He's got the bio right there. He's a pastor. He's stressed out. I know how that is. Deacon's giving him a hard time. That's why Jesus went around healing, doing miracles, and casting out deacons. I understand that. I'm a preacher's kid, so I never liked deacons. And so, you know, I can give him some maybe stress relief techniques for a pastor, you know, like it's what helped me. Put the deacon's name on your golf ball. That always made me feel better. Just knock him out there about 200 yards. Even if you hit it in the water, it doesn't really bother you that much. So I start to relax, and he turns to me and says, we have a mutual friend. I said, oh, who is that? He said, Larnell Harris. I know you've sung with him all over the country. I said, sir, do you think I'm Mark Lowry, the singer? He says, aren't you? I pick up the Bible. Didn't you read this? I'm Charles Lowry, the psychologist. Then he said this, I thought you were both. Now, at this point, what I wanted to say, and I didn't say because I'm a man of God, were you abducted by aliens and sprayed with stupid juice? I mean, this guy thinks I'm a schizophrenic singing psychologist. I said, have you told your church Mark Lowry's coming? He said, I've told the whole city Mark Lowry's coming. I said, is there a tall building or cliff somewhere close by? He said, why? I said, so we can jump off, that's why. I said, look, buddy, we're in serious trouble here. I don't sing, I'm a psychologist. Take me back to the airport, no fee, no problem, just get me out of here. He says, you're not going anywhere. We got 2,000 people at this banquet and you're gonna do it. I'm gonna take you to the hotel, a staff member pick you up in an hour. He takes me to the hotel and it's a great hotel. He thinks I'm Mark Lowry. I'm used to speaking at mostly Baptist churches, and how can I say this? They're cheap, you know? Sometimes I'm in a Motel 3. You ever been in a Motel 3? You only get half the Gideon's Bible in a Motel 3. You gotta put a quarter in the bed to keep it from vibrating, and the restaurant takes Blue Cross Blue Shield. I mean, it's a tough place. So an hour later, Staff member picks me up and said, "Hello, Mark." By then, I just say, "Hello." I get to the banquet hall. There's a couple thousand people there. Pastor's wife meets me out front and said, "I know we've made a horrible mistake, but the pastor's talked to some people and they've read your books and they say you're funny. He's starting to relax." I said, "I'm glad he's starting to relax. I'm going to the bathroom about every 10 minutes." But it was my turn to talk. I got up and I said, "You know, God's a sovereign God, and God looked down and saw your pastor, and he said, that pastor thinks he needs a singer. That pastor doesn't need a singer. He needs a psychologist. Charles is coming instead of Mark." But let me tell you, that was one of the most stressful days of my life. Why? Because I tried to be something that I wasn't. Now, the world's a punishment scheme. The world will say this: you can be anything you want to be. You can't be anything you want to be. I want to be shortstop for the Yankees. I can't hit a curveball. I'm not going to be shortstop for the Yankees. You can only be what God designed you to be. It's like creation. A cantaloupe seed's going to be a cantaloupe. Watermelon seed's going to be a watermelon. Now that cantaloupe seed can say, "This is America. I can be anything I want to be. I don't want to be a cantaloupe. I want to be a watermelon. I'm going to get the 7 highly effective habits of watermelons. I'm going to start listening to watermelon tapes. I'm going to get Rick Warren's tapes. I'm going to be a purpose-driven watermelon. I'm going to hear Joel Osteen. I'm going to be a highly anointed, favored, blessed watermelon. I'm going to go to Tony Robbins' seminar to walk on fire to prove I'm capable of being a watermelon. I'm going to go to psychotherapy, get in touch with my inner child. Maybe my inner child was a watermelon at one time. I'm going to go to some new age hotbed, channel up some 400-year-old guru, let him sit bow-legged, naked, hum, hold a crystal, and hum, watermelon thoughts, hum, watermelon thoughts." You can do all that. People do it all the time. But when the cantaloupe seed comes out of the ground, what's it going to be? It's going to be a cantaloupe. It's going to be a sorry, no good, dysfunctional cantaloupe. Because all you've done to it. But it's going to be a cantaloupe. Be who you are. Be a great life for you, I promise. Okay. X stands, and there's no good word that starts with X. You understand that, right? So we're cheating a little bit. You exchange your stress for his strength. The best way to deal with this life and understand stress and really all the issues is to understand how great a father you have. Now, our Father, God the Father, is not like your father. He's the kind of father you always wanted to be or always wanted to have. If you look at the Bible, in the Old Testament, well, how many read the Old Testament lately? Read the Old Testament lately? It's pretty tough. I mean, God wiped out some folks. You know what I mean? I mean, if you're an ite, remember those Ammonites, mosquito bites, Gazuntite, Samsonite? I mean, boom, you're gone, you know. I mean, I just wish you got the termites. How'd he miss those? I don't know. But the Old Testament, the word father is not mentioned very much. When it is, it's impersonal. It's the father of many nations. But in the New Testament, Jesus is always saying it like this: you think God's like this, but he's really like this. God is so good, even if he had a kid to live with the pigs — that's the worst thing a Jewish boy could do, to live with the pigs — God is so good that if this boy came home, he would throw a party and welcome him. That's how good God is. God is so good, even if he had 99 sheep and just one was lost, God is so good, he would take care of those, but he would go looking for that one lost sheep. Why would he say that? Because that's the scripture. The Old Testament was the only Bible they had. So he says, you think he's like this, but he's really like this. You want to live a stress-free life, you learn from the Old Testament, but you live in the New Testament. Because in the New Testament, this impersonal God becomes our God through Jesus Christ. And Father is translated Abba, which means your daddy. This God has become your daddy. If you had a good dad, you never really had any stress when you were a kid, did you? Because, I mean, dad's there. Dad'll take care of that. Dad'll take care of this. My dad was a Baptist preacher. That's why I became a psychologist, by the way. We had Sunday night church. And I wanted to play with the kids and stuff, and mom and my brother and sisters would go home. But dad would just stay forever, you know, because all the deacons asked him all the problem stuff. And finally, I just said, well, I'm just going to walk home by myself. Now, if you're familiar with those old southern churches, there's always the church is here and the parsonage is here, and there's a cemetery in the middle, you know. So here's a little kid having to walk home at night through the cemetery. And I just want to tell you, dead people can still scare you. You know what I mean? And I can remember when I did that, I mean, you talking about stress, I was scared to death. I mean, I was looking at this stuff, hearing noises, all kind of stuff. Man, by the time I get home, I was a nervous wreck. So I decided in my mind, I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going to wait on my dad. And what a huge difference that made. I mean, with dad with me, I wasn't afraid of dead people. Remember, we'd play a little game. We'd run around a tombstone and do stuff, and we'd read some of the tombstones and, you know, make fun of them and say, well, why didn't they do that, you know? And then sometimes I'd get tired, and he'd pick me up. And I'd wake up home. Let me tell you how to handle stress. You got a great father. One day, you're going to walk the cemetery. But even that is not stressful. He's going to pick you up. He's going to take you home. Let's pray. Father, thank you for our time today. Thank you that you're such a good God, and thank you that you're our God because of Jesus Christ. Lord, teach us to understand how good you are, and that you're our Father, not just in death, but in life. And you walk with us, and you care for us. And that no matter what happens to us in the long term, you can take it and use it for us. Give us the faith to believe that you have the best life possible planned for us, if only we'll walk through it. And then thank you for that day when one day we do walk in that cemetery. And then that final day when they just take that body there, but we've already been gone and we're with you. Thank you that you're such a good God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you.
Once again, thanks for listening. If you live in Wichita, the surrounding area, we'd love for you to engage with us in one of our weekend services. For directions, service times, and information about our incredible kids and student environments, visit us at newspring.org. One more time, newspring.org.